Blog Talk Radio.
Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Oh, fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Oh, fire. Our God is a consuming fire. My God is a consuming fire. My God is a consuming fire. Oh, fire. Our God is a consuming fire. My God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Oh, fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Oh, fire. My God is a consuming fire. Oh, fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Oh, fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Oh, fire. Our God is a consuming. My God is a consuming. Your God is a consuming fire. Oh, fire. Our God is a
consuming fire.
Fire.
Our God is a consuming fire.
What it does. You know, when David faced Goliath, David was not ignorant of who God is. David knew the God he was presenting. And so David said, you need uncircumcised Philistine. Today, I will cut your head and give your body to the birds of the air. And he knew what he was talking about. You know, they that know their God shall do exploit. If you don't know your God in this end time, you know, you miss a lot of things. But thank God we have opportunities like this where we look into the scriptures and we discover who our God is and what he does. And, we know how to communicate with him in that dimension. See, Abraham saw God as a man of faith, the way you look at God, that is how God operates with you. God will operate with you the way you see him. Prophet Elijah saw God as a consuming fire. Hey, I like that. Prophet Elijah, that is the aspect of God. He picked that aspect. This God is a consuming fire. And of course, in the life and ministry of Prophet Elijah, God actually was a consuming fire. The way you understand God, that is how he operates with you. And when the enemies gathered around Prophet Elijah, they were trying to kill him. Prophet Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come from heaven and consume all of you. Then the Bible says that heaven opened. And fire came down and consumed all the enemies of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hey, the Messiah. That is the God we are talking about. So tonight, we're going to be talking about this Almighty God. The God that consumes. Yes, consumes sin and sickness and disease, consumes evil, consumes every work of the devil. Yes, that's the God we are talking about. And then we thank God tonight. We have our mother in Christ, our honorable lady evangelist, Olayinka Nawa. She's going to be sharing also. But I'm going to take the first 15 minutes to introduce what we have for today. And then we shall go from there. Heavenly Father, bless us today through your word. Lord Jesus, we ask that you will take absolute control. Lord, that you will bless everyone that has come into this service. Holy Spirit, have your way and send your word to save, to heal, to deliver, and to bless the people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Yes, everyone is welcome to the Hour of Miracles Radio and TV Ministries of the Jesus Christ Global Mission, reaching all the way from Langham, Maryland, USA. Quickly, I'm going to introduce what we have for today. Our God is a consuming fire. Our text is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 says, for this God is a consuming fire. In fact, that statement was made in two places in the Bible, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. But we're going to pick Hebrews 11:29, where it says, because we are not in the New Testament, so the Old Testament is there, but we are in the New Testament age right now. So we're gonna read quickly. All right. Our God is a consuming fire. This consuming fire is the same fire in the Old Testament that the flame of fire by night and the flame of fire by day that led the Israelites to the land of promise, to the land of promise. And this same fire is the same fire that came from heaven to devour Elijah's sacrifice. As you go through your whole Bible, you see this fire appearing in various forms, not always in judgment. For instance, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came down, you know, in form of fire on the disciples, 120 believers, in the upper room. The Holy Ghost came down on them and they were speaking in tongues. See? So the fire, God's fire, was not always for judgment's sake. Sometimes it is just to glorify his name. Take for instance, when Prophet Elijah made the challenge on Mount Tabor. On Mount Tabor, he met with the 454 prophets of Baal. And the 454 prophets of Baal, they prayed and prayed, and their God did not answer by fire. But when Prophet Elijah took over, and he began to pray, fire came from heaven to confirm that Prophet Elijah was the real servant of God. He was serving the real God, the God of Elijah. He is the true God. Not all these false prophets of thee, false prophets all over the whole place. Those are not we are not serving thee. We are serving the God that answered by fire. All other gods didn't answer, but there is only one living God. The God that created heaven and earth, the God that sent Jesus Christ to come and die for you and I to be saved. The God that we worship and praise and adore every day. The God that you call upon in the days of trouble and he answers you. That is the real God. So the context from Mount Carmel, recorded in the Old Testament, was an opportunity for God to prove himself to the people that he was the only true God. All other gods, they are the ones of men. The river in that village, or the sea, the water, the body of water, they believe that their God lives in that water, and they make sacrifices to those gods every year. They believe that their God is inside the water. There are people who believe that their dead fathers are their gods. They believe that they have gods, you know, in all forms. And they think that those are the things that are helping them. The Apostle Paul was preaching one day in the Bible in the Acts of Apostles. Apostle Paul got to a place and they put a signboard there. It says, to the unknown God. Apostle Paul, he was busy preaching the gospel. He got to a city and they put a signboard. It says, to the unknown God. Then he asked the question, why will you deal with an unknown God? There is a God that we know. There is a true living God. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. The God that you call upon is a call upon me in the days of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Apostle Paul was very worried. And so he started his preaching from that point. Why do you worship an unknown God? A God that you don't know is what you want to worship. Supposing that God is Satan. Supposing he's a demon. Supposing, why don't you worship the true living God? See, all these things have been, even in the days of Abraham. Abraham grew up in the awe of the Chaldeans, in the Babylonian kingdom. He grew up, and Abraham looked around and he saw that the people around him, they were worshiping the moon. They were worshiping the sun. They were worshiping the sea. They worshiped the river. They worship every kind of thing in the days of Abraham in the awe of Chaldeans. Abraham said, no, no. The river is not a god. The moon is not a god. The sun is not a god. Why do people worship creation? You worship creation. You don't worship the creator. Abraham was offended. So he began to seek the true God. And thank God, God revealed himself to Abraham. And God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God said, Abraham, come out of among them. Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to the end, you see, God called Abraham, come out from among these people who worship moon. They worship sun, they worship river, they worship anything. Abraham, come from among them, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you a blessing. Whosoever blesses you, I will bless. Whosoever curses you, I will curse. So Abraham got connected to the Almighty God, the God that created heaven and earth, the God that sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for you and I to be saved. That is the only true God. And that was the God Elijah was presenting to the people in the days of Ahab. Jezebel had convinced Ahab and all the people to worship Baal. And then they got 450 false prophets worshiping Baal. And as they were worshiping Baal, God was angry with them. And Prophet Elijah said, which you know the true God. There is a true God. There is a true living God somewhere. It's not in Baal. It's not in prophets of Baal. No, there is a true God. And so the prophet Elijah put up a challenge on Mount Tabor. And all the people gathered and 454 prophets of Baal. They began to pray. They prayed from morning to evening. Their God did not answer. And when Elijah came and mocked them, he said, you people say that the day is done. Why is he not answering you? Why is he not answering you now? So they have to push the people to the corner. But Elijah now rearranged the table, and he called upon the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that created heaven and earth, the God that sent Jesus Christ to come and die for us to be saved. Abraham, Elijah called on the true God, and he answered by fire. Hallelujah. The fire came down. And all the people said, the God of Elijah is the true God. A whole nation got saved. A whole nation got converted because they saw a God that answered by fire. The consuming fire came down to manifest his power. Hallelujah. Hey, Messiah. Tonight we are going to pray that our God, the consuming fire, should begin to consume every consumable. What does fire consume? Fire will consume everything that is not of God. This fire will consume sin and sickness. This fire of the Holy Ghost will consume the demons and the evil spirits. This fire of God will consume evil from the land. This fire of God will consume revival power. Sprinkle wickedness in the high places. For Elijah was very busy serving God. And they sent 50 men to come and arrest from Elijah. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come from heaven and consume all these enemies. And the fire came down and consume all the witches and wizards, all the occult and the diabolical forces, all the principalities and powers, praise and wickedness in high places, all the things and evil, all the altars that God did not erect. Fire of God came to consume them to us. That is our prayer tonight. God, send down your fire. Let it burn. Every burning. Let your fire consume wickedness. Let your fire consume evil. Let your fire consume
Thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
God is showing me someone, you have excruciating pain inside your chest area. It's like a stone somewhere inside your chest area. Put your right hand on your chest. If you are that person, put your right hand on your chest. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost consume that problem from that body now. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Hey, Rabasa. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hey, the Messiah. Ah. Anywhere demons are gathered, Holy Ghost fire comes. Anywhere witches are gathered, Holy Ghost fire comes. Anywhere demons are gathered, Holy Ghost fire comes with them. Anywhere sickness is gathered, Holy Ghost fire comes. Anywhere witches are gathered, Holy Ghost fire comes with them. Yes, God, we have a nice fire of the Holy Ghost. We begin to consume all demonic influence, all precise of power. All procession and failure, sicknesses and diseases in the bodies of people, wherever you are hiding, fire of God consume you now. Send you captive in the name of Jesus. Yes, you have no place in the life of God's people. Yes, our God is a consuming fire, consuming every consumable. From our lives, from our homes, from our family, from our business, from our jobs, from our ministry, from our marriages, from our family. Fire of God consume every power working against our destiny. Yes, God is showing another person. There are witches working against your destiny. Witches, witchcraft forces working against your destiny. Today, we release the fire of the Holy Ghost to consume all those enemies. If I be a man of God, let fire come from heaven and consume all witchcraft attacks, cosmic and diabolical attacks, satanic attacks, principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness like this. Receive the son of fire. Fire of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit. We will pray. Thank you, Lord. Yes, there was a typographical error on the scripture we have on the screen. It is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Sorry for that. We are sorry for that. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. That was a typographical error. It's not Hebrews 11. 25 to 29, Hebrews chapter 12, 25 to 29. That was a typographical error, but it's okay. Then we discover that God is a consuming fire, occurred in several parts of the Bible, not just one or two. So it's a serious case. Quickly, we want to let the woman of God share what God has put in her heart. We want to learn from her, and let's see what God has for us today. Over to you, Mama. Over to you.
Okay. Me, sir. Hello, sir.
Yes.
Okay, so this topic is Christian fellowship.
Yes.
Christian fellowship. That's exactly what you are doing now. What you are doing now is Christian fellowship. 1 John 1:7. So since we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Because we are walking in light, that's why we are all having fellowship with one another. What we are doing now is having fellowship with one another. With whom do we have fellowship? With the Father and the Son. 1 John 1:3, we are born into God's family, and now as a new member of the family, we have heart-to-heart fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9, all unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The basic call is fellowship rather than sacrifice or service. 1 John 1, 3, verse 3 and verse 7, we have fellowship with other Christians. 1 John 1, verse 3 and verse 7, fellowship with the apostles, disciples, and believers. Now, as you are here, now we are having fellowship with the apostles and the disciples and believers. Christians love to be together, to talk together, to pray together, to sing together, and to laugh together, to weep together, just to be together. Christians love to come together to speak of the things of the Lord and to share experiences and testimonies. We need this fellowship mutual strengthening and encouragement. Fellowship is to strengthen us, to encourage us. The isolated Christian may be starved and lose out spiritually. We first seek fellowship with the Lord in prayer and Bible reading, and then with other brethren. Fellowship reduces in the face of the saints. We must have fellowship with others. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Fellowship is God's ordained order for mankind. God created man to labor in this and be free to rest, fellowship, and worship on the seventh day. God recognized this principle in creation for himself. Genesis 2, verse 18, it is not good that the man should be alone, and we make him an helpmeet for him. This refers to marriage, but is equally true in Christian growth as well. Jesus recognized this principle when he sent out his disciples 2 by 2. Mark 6:7. It is true that some Christians have matured while living in isolation in prison, but they are the exception to the rule. Even in prison, they have a fellowship so that the prisoners too might be born again and have Christ in their lives, because there are some prison evangelism too. They go for prison evangelism too, so that these prisoners too might be set free from darkness and fellowship with God. Ordinarily, by getting together for church worship, how do we have fellowship? How do we have fellowship? By getting together for church worship. But there is also fellowship in prayer meeting, testimony meeting, and street meeting. Students in colleges have fellowship in group, Bible study, and small prayer cells. Fellowship is often sweetest where two or three meet, as Jesus says in Matthew 18:20. Two riding together in a jeep or bus can have excellent fellowship, sweet communion. Two Christians on a walk gang may fellowship together. Jesus and the two disciples had excellent fellowship on Emmaus Road. Luke 24:32. Jesus drew near, and their hearts were strangely warmed. This is spiritual fellowship. Acts 2:42. And they, the saints in the Jerusalem church, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The early church thrive on fellowship. They consider it absolutely essential. Fellowship is very essential. Fellowship is not a passive thing. It's even that just attending a meeting. Fellowship is where we contribute something to the meeting. Fellowship is a give and take process. The sort of Christian fellowship. What we learn to walk in the light in obedience to the Lord's will. 1 John 1:7. We learn to suffer together. Philippians 3:10. This fellowship can be very meaningful. Colossians 4:7. We learn to serve together. Fellow servants of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We learn to comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. By sharing the word and experiences. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. We learn to pray for one another. Fellowship is sharing requests. Galatians 6:2. We learn to hear one another's burden, sharing love and sorrows. Romans 12:15. We learn to rejoice with the joyful. Joy is certainly contagious, and we grow and glow for the Lord when we fellowship together. 2 Peter 3:18. We give and receive a reciprocal blessing. Begin the day with fellowship. We have to begin the day with the fellowship. God was in our quiet time, prayer and Bible studies, the fellowship with God in the morning. We meditate much on the word of God during the day. Let the Lord be our predominant thought. What should be our predominant thought? The thought of the evil must not prevail over the thought of God in our life. If you fellowship with God on this, the thought of God will predominate. We keep company with believers of like faith. We witness to unsaved ones and invite them to be saved. What is the difference between listening to a great radio sermon and being in a church? Basically, the difference is one of fellowship. It is good to listen to great radio preachers, but on Sunday morning, we ought to be in our own church for fellowship. May God bless the reading of His word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, the fellowship of the brethren. The Bible talks about fellowship. It says, for faith not the assembling together of the brethren. And the early church, if I had practiced fellowship a lot, the Bible says they were breaking bread from house to house. And in so doing, they were able to win even more souls. Because when people are isolated, there's a lot of disadvantages. It has some disadvantages. For instance, iron sharpness. When the Bible says, if two work together, one can encourage the other one, and so on and so forth. So fellowship is very important, like you have said with us. It's very important. Like the Acts of Apostles, if two of people agree on it, as touching anything, me God will do it. Then the Acts of Apostles chapter 2, they were in one accord, they were fellowshipping under the anointing in the upper room, in the home of Mary, 120 believers, and they were praying, they kept on praying. Waiting on the Lord for the promise of the Father. And then the Pentecost came down. And the Holy Spirit came down mightily upon them with evidences of speaking in tongues. That was the power of the Holy Spirit entering into the church. The church was empowered to win souls and to affect communities and bring people to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So fellowshipping, like she has just shared with us, is very important in the Christian faith. We do fellowship with one another in prayer, in studying the Word of God, call people on the phone, talk to them, cheer them up, encourage people, pray with people, counsel people, speak to people. Now we are even better. We have more advantages now. The things are available, you know, so we have more technology to use for the furtherance of the gospel than the days of the Apostle Paul, where he had to travel on horseback, had to travel a lot before he can preach. But today we have a lot of technology at our disposal, which we can use to reach the whole world for Jesus Christ. You know, so we need to take advantage of all these things that God has placed at our disposal for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we thank God for that, Mama. We are blessed. We receive that word. Fellowshipping in the Christian faith is very important. And I know everyone of you that have joined us on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, joining us on YouTube. I know you got that word. Fellowship is very important in the Christian faith, in our Christian walk with God. Quickly, we want to pray that God will restore fellowship to the church of today. Because during the coronavirus, a lot of people were isolated. And because of the coronavirus and the peak of it, people weren't coming out, people weren't going out, people weren't, you know, it was very serious. That's how the isolation began. And up to now, a lot of people are still yet to free themselves and then mix up with society. A lot of people still have a lot of reservations about coming out to meet with people. They are so scared because of the coronavirus we just came out from. But that notwithstanding, we still need to move ahead with the work of God. To the point here, not many people went to church, not many people went out again. People were working from home, people were staying at home and ordering things from the stores. It was a very bad situation. But thank God, coronavirus has gone. So we Christians, we need to fellowship. We need to share. We need to be. We need to minister to one another, training, encouraging our brethren. How beautiful and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133. You know, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We pray today, we're going to pray that there should be unity in the house of God, there should be fellowship, there should be oneness and singleness of heart, because that is what brings heaven down. Like you saw in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, the Bible says that the believers were in one accord. They were fellowshipping in the upper room. 120 believers, they prayed in one accord. And heaven came down. The Holy Spirit, the power of God came down because we were fellowshipping. It was an agreement, the spirit of agreement. Bible says they were in one accord. That is very, very important. In one accord. Christians today, we should be in one accord so that we can actually achieve our goal. Yes, so we're going to pray, God restore unity and love, fellowship, restore all the things of the house of God to the Christians, the believers worldwide. Restore our fellowship. Yes, I will pray in the name of Jesus. I will pray. God is
God. I thank you, Lord God, in the church of God, now, Lord God, of heaven, Jesus. Oh, God, then they are online now. They don't even come on to church. Oh, Lord God, those people that worship online without going to church, Lord God of heaven, restore them back to the church. Oh, Lord God of heaven, you know, work online, where they have to come to church in Jesus' name. Restore all those that you brought to church back. Oh, Lord God, to God, fellowship to the church of God.
In the name of
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray that love be restored in Christ, unity and peace of God. Rest in the name of Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Yeah, any prayer request? Does anybody have a prayer request? All right. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth. Take us to out of your words and not just hear us alone. Let it forth find the same life of the people. That God bless the people that have had your word today. That your word will bring them salvation, healing, and deliverance. Send your word to their spirit, to their lives. Let your word bring solutions to all the problems in their life. In the name of Jesus, Father, intervene and bless your people through the word they have heard today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are praying. Amen and amen. Amen. Yes, thank God for giving us today. We're going to have another session tomorrow at 5 to 6 p.m. God bless you all for attending this meeting. Lord reward you all abundantly. Please forward this message to everyone. Email it, text it, tweet it, ask, share it, and let them know the truth. And let the truth set them free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one coming to the Father except by him. Yes, we give God glory, honor, and adoration for bringing us so far. Not by our mind, not by our power, but by his faith. We thank him in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. God bless you all. Thank you so much, Honorable Mother in Christ. God bless you. And bless your family. And bless everyone around you all.
Amen. I love the mommy too.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.